It isn't over. It isn't over yet, Harry. As long as you hold yourself responsible for Justin's death and Elaine's fall, it still colors everything you think and do. I didn't answer myself. She's still alive, my double said. You know she is. She died in the fire, I said. She was unconscious. She couldn't have lived through it. You'd have known if she died, and they never found a second set of bones. She died in the fire, I screamed. She's dead. Until you stop pretending, my double said, appearing before me, and try to face reality, you are not going to be able to heal. You are not going to be able to trust anyone, which reminds me, my double gestured, and Tara West appeared as I'd seen her crouch behind the garbage bin at the rear of the gas station, naked, her body lean, feral, leaves and a bit of bracken in her hair. Her amber eyes gleamed with cold, alien intelligence. Why the hell are you trusting her? I haven't had much choice, I snapped. In case you haven't noticed, things have been sort of desperate lately. You know she's not human, my double said. You know she was at the scene of the crime, at Marconi's restaurant, where Spike was torn up. You know she has some kind of hold on a group of young people, the favorite targets of creatures of the Never Never. In fact, you can be pretty damn sure she's a shapeshifter of one kind or another who isn't telling you the whole truth, but still comes asking for your help. Like I can throw stones for not telling the whole truth, I said. My double said in an answer. But you haven't confronted her about what she isn't telling you. Those kids. Who the hell were they? And what were they doing? What is she getting them into? And why is she keeping it secret from McFinn? He didn't recognize the names when you dropped them. All right, I said. I was going to talk to her anyway, as soon as I wake up. My double chuckled. If things are that leisurely. These murders are still happening, and they're starting to pile up. Are you serious about doing something about them? You know I am. My double nodded firmly. I'm glad we agree on something. Let's look at some facts. McFinn couldn't have committed all the murders. Most particularly, he couldn't have committed the most important murder, the industrialist, Marconi's partner. He and his bodyguard were killed the night after the full moon, and Spike was wiped out the night before the full moon. McFinn doesn't have any control over his shapeshifting. He couldn't have been the one to pull off those murders. So who could have? I asked. His fiancée. The men were ripped apart by an animal. But the FBI lab said that it wasn't a true wolf that did it. Werewolves are slightly different from real wolves, my double said. How do you know that? I demanded. I'm the intuition, remember? My double said. Think about it. If you were going to change yourself into a wolf, do you think you could hold that image in your head perfectly exact? Do you think you could make all the millions of subtle, tiny changes in skeletal and muscular structure? Magic doesn't just work. A mind has to direct it, shape it. Your emotions, your feeling towards wolves would color it too, change the image and the shape. Ask Bob next chance you get. I'm sure he'll tell you I'm right. Okay, I said. I'll buy that. But FBI said that there was more than one set of tooth marks and prints too. McFinn explained some of them. During last month's full moon, he probably killed some people when his circle went kablooey. And the group Tara had, they called themselves the Alphas, could explain the rest of them, if they were shapeshifters. Now you're catching on, my double said, approval in his tone. You're smarter than you look. Do you think they were behind spoiling McFinn's containment circle? The fancy one with all the silver and stuff? They had the knowledge to do it, through Tara. Tara could have let him in, providing opportunity, my double said. They didn't have a motive, I said. Why would they have done it? Because Tara told them to, maybe. I frowned and nodded. She is a creature of the Never Never, who knows what's going on through her its head. It doesn't necessarily have to be understandable by human logic. My double shook his head. I don't buy that. I saw the way she looked at McFinn. and how she sacrificed herself to divert the FBI and the police so that he could escape. Your instincts are telling you that she's in love with Mac Finn and that she wouldn't act against him. Yeah, you told me about Elaine, too, I shot back, another pang of memory going through my chest. That was a long time ago, my double said defensively. I've had time to get keener since then, and less easy to distract. All right, I sighed. So where does that leave us? I don't think we've run into the real killers yet. The ones who ruined McFinn's circle and whacked the mob guys on the non-full moon nights. I squinted at my double. You think so? He nodded and stroked his beard again. Unless the alphas are doing it without Terra's knowing, and they look a little too bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to be doing that. I think it's someone else entirely. Someone trying to set up McFinn and take him out of the picture. But why? Because maybe they don't want him putting the Northwest Passage Project through. Or gee, maybe because he's a freaking werewolf, Harry, and someone caught on to it and wanted him dead. You know that there are organizations who would do that. Some of the Venatori Umbrorium, members of the White Council, others who are in the know. But you don't think I've seen them yet? I don't think you've picked them out from the background, my double said. Keep your eyes open, all right? Which brings us to the next topic of discussion. Does it? My double nodded. Threat assessment. You've got all kinds of things staring you right in the face, and you're not noticing them. I don't want you to get killed because you're too distracted. He glanced to one side, frowned, and said, We're almost out of time. We wouldn't be if you weren't such a wise ass. Bite me, my double said. Don't forget, Marconi. You pissed him off by not taking the deal he offered you. He thinks the killers are coming after him next, and he might be right. He's scared, and scared people do stupid things, like trying to off the only man in town who has a chance of stopping what's going on. Well, let me worry about Marconi, I said. I am you, and I'm worried. Next thing is the cops. Some of Murphy's people are dead. There's going to be hell to pay once she gets that arm fixed. And someone is going to remember that you were around. And with your luck, they won't remember that you kept even more people from dying. You see Murphy and the police again, you better be careful or you're going to get shot to death resisting arrest. I'll be careful, I said. Yeah. One more thing, my double said. You have forgotten about Parker and the street wolves entirely. Parker needs you dead if he's going to remain in control of his people. Yeah, you'd have thought he'd have been more on the ball than this. Exactly, my double said. You've been hiding and away from your apartment for a while, but you show up in public again, you can bet Parker will be on your trail. And think, he knew the real deal between you and Marconi, and he's a petty thug in Chicago. There's probably a connection between them, and you've been too dumb to think of it. Stars above, I muttered. It's not as if the situation is very complicated. No pressure, right? At least you're willing to deal with it now, instead of just closing your eyes and pretending they don't see you. Be careful, Harry. It's a real mess, and you're the only one who can clean it up. Well, who are you, my mother? I asked. My double snapped his fingers. That reminds me. Right, your mother. He broke off, glanced up and around him, an expression of frustration coming over his face. Oh, hell. And then someone was shaking my unwounded shoulder, shaking me roughly awake. I blinked open my eyes in shock, and all the pains of my body came flooding back to me with a renewed energy and agony. My brain reeled for a few minutes, trying to shift gears. I was sitting in the passenger seat of Susan's car. We were rolling down an expressway somewhere, but rain was clouding the view of the skyline, so I couldn't orient myself to where we were. The glowing numbers of the dashboard clock said it was only a few minutes after 9. I'd had less than a half an hour's sleep. There was an old beach towel wrapped around my wounded foot, and my face felt cool, as if someone had been wiping it clean. Is he awake? Susan said, her voice high and panicky. Is he awake? I'm awake, I said, blearily, blinking open my eyes. Sort of. What? This better be good. It is not good, Tara said from the back seat. If you have any power left, Wizard, you should be prepared to use it. We are being followed.